just want to say I hope and pray that you're excited to be gathering together today as we open up the scriptures. I just want to start off with sharing a little bit of my heart, and it goes along with what we're talking about today, but we're going to be in the book of Galatians here in just a moment if you want to go ahead and turn there, and we'll have us on the screen here in just a little bit. I think I've been in ministry for about 6 or 7 years now, and literally hundreds of kids that I've met over the years, hundreds, come and gone, graduated, in for a little while, gone, don't see them again. It's just youth ministry, it's church, it's what happens, you know. And so over the years, I have seen a lot of kids change. And it's been just an honor to be a part of it. I've seen kids on a Wednesday night give their heart to Jesus. You know, I've seen them give their life to Jesus. I've seen the difficulties and the struggles that they were going through, and we were able to talk it out, and they're able to surrender all of that to Jesus. I have had the opportunity and the privilege to be able to baptize so many in the name of Jesus because I believe they have asked Jesus to come into their heart, and I've seen the change and the difference within them. And it's just been a beautiful. If you've ever been if you've been a part of church for any time, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it before with your own eyes. But sadly, a lot of times is so many times that when I see a child give their heart and their life to Jesus, or I see them get baptized, a lot of times it doesn't stick. It just doesn't. Sometimes it just doesn't stick. Not all the time, but sometimes it just doesn't stick. They don't stay committed to the truth. Pastor Tim and I have talked about it several times. You know, when people join the church, it's just a blessing that people are from outside are coming in. But I've seen so many people over the years join the church and that was their last Sunday. Not all the time, but sometimes. I have many teens on my mind, been a part of the youth ministry for years. Grown, be a part of our production team and different things we have going on, seeing Jesus come into their heart, come into their life, baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's our last Sunday. Hadn't seen them. So the question is what has changed? What has happened? This isn't the first time in history that this happens. And Paul, that we're going to read in this letter here in just a moment, here's about these false teachers that went to Galatia. Paul had already been to Galatia. He had preached the gospel to them. He had seen them changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He's seen them just set free. And Paul hears about these false teachers that came to the Galatians and were telling them that, hey, there is another way to Jesus. You know, you got to follow the law. You gotta follow the law in order to be right with God. That's how they justified it. And one of the things that they told the Galatians that you had to do in order to be right with God is that you had to be circumcised. That you had to be circumcised. And so they're like, wait a minute, Paul says this, and then you guys are coming in the name of Jesus saying that we do have to live by the law and that we do have to be circumcised. It's not adding up. Paul preached to them and saw them receive the Holy Spirit. And now they were turning away from the gospel. They're turning away from the gospel that says that you do not have to live by the old law. That you do not have to live by the old law. And so Paul writes this letter to the Galatians to clarify that justification by faith alone is central to the gospel and that you do not have to live by the law of Moses. And so he wanted them to know and understand. And this letter we're going to read here in just a moment, man, Paul does a good job of just articulating each and every part because he was accused of different things and he, excuse me, he made it clear that that's not what I am, that I come in the name of Jesus. It is not required for a person to be justified. And Paul explained that Christ sets believers free from the law when we have accepted him as our Savior. And so this letter we're about to read, I hope maybe some of you have heard it before, Paul is about to get serious. Paul is mad. Paul is furious because someone is coming behind him and telling these Galatians something totally different from what he was used to. And so I'm going to let you stay seated today because it's about 17 verses and I don't want y'all to get mad at me for standing too long. You know, so it's on the screen. Follow along with me. We're going to read it. We're going to come back through and just kind of just break it down how Paul talks about it. So it's Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through 17. Listen to these words. Paul, an apostle, sent neither by human commission nor from human authorities, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the members of God's family who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to set us free from the present evil age, according to the will of our God the Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul's about to get serious right here. He's about to get serious. He says, I am astonished. He says, I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting the one who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we have proclaimed to you, then let that one be cursed. As we have said before, so now I repeat, if anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you received, let that one be cursed. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? Listen to what he says. He said, if I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I would not be a servant of Christ. Verse 11, for I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from any human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier years in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I even advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles. He says it again. I did not confer with any human being about this gospel, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Beautiful. I mean, beautiful letter that Paul writes to the Galatians, because he hears what's going on and he's not going to stand for it. And so what we see here in the Bible and in this letter and about the Christian faith in this book and about this chapter deals with the things on which your eternal destiny hangs. And so that's how serious this letter is. That's how serious this letter is. He said, if anyone else comes preaching a different gospel, then let them be cursed. Let them be cursed. Let them be cursed. Because if you get the gospel wrong, what happens? You perish. You perish. And so this letter should cause a seriousness within us, the church. Because let me tell you something. This letter applies to us today as well. This letter applies to us today. And so this should cause a seriousness within our hearts, about life, about worship, about joy, about peace. You know, there are people in churches all over the world, people in your family who are walking away from the gospel, people who prophetically said that I believe in Jesus, that he is the Lord of my life, and where are they? Where are they? You have people in your life that have proclaimed that Jesus was their God, and yet they no longer follow him anymore. What has happened? What has changed? What has changed is someone has shown them an alternative, and for some and same reasons seems superior to them than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I hear that all the time. Yes, you do. Why? Because who would want to be a follower of Jesus and never gather with other believers? It doesn't make sense, right? It comes from a lazy spirit. You don't have to really be holy. Yes, you do. God didn't die on the cross for no reason. He died so that you and I could live a life of holiness, a life of victory. And if we had that mindset, then Christ died in vain, and that is not the gospel. And so Paul is calling down a curse on them. Whose curse? God's curse. He's calling down a curse on them. And he's telling them that if anyone is in the name of Jesus, is directing people away from Jesus, from him, then let them be cursed. Let them be cursed. And Paul is just furious. He's mad that people in the name of Jesus would come and literally direct people away from him. The one who takes the wrath for all of us. The one who stretched his arms and died on the cross that you and I don't have to do it. And so this is a serious time in history. In verse 1, Paul starts off by telling them that the gospel that I preach, it's not man's gospel. I didn't come up with it. This is not my idea, okay? This is not man's gospel. These things actually happened. I saw them with my own eyes. I heard about them with my own ears. And Paul wanted them to know because they accused him for being a pleaser of man. He wanted them to know that I didn't come up with this. This is God's gospel. You know, people are lured, is that better? By false gospels all the time. By false gospels all the time. Universalism and just many other false teachings, you know, it's all around us. You know, I tell the teens all the time, you know, the world that you live in says that you can do this, this, and this and still be a Christian, but it does not line up with God's word, so therefore it is wrong. It ceases to be the gospel. Paul made it clear that if you add anything to the gospel, if you take anything away from the gospel, that it ceases to be the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul is furious. Paul is mad. These people are coming in and telling them about another gospel. Not that there is another gospel. That's what he said there. But he was telling them, if anyone adds circumcision, then you have to keep the whole law, which is impossible for anyone to do. It's impossible for any of us to do. And if we think that we have to keep the whole law, then we are severed from Christ. We are severed from Christ because that is not the gospel. Jesus died on the cross for us so that we do not have to live by the law anymore, that we're able to live by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. We do not have to live by the old law. And Paul made it clear that if you add law-keeping of any kind of necessary basis of being right with God, then you have fallen away from grace. You have fallen away from grace. And he says, if you try to take others with you, then I'm calling down God's wrath on you. Paul's not playing. Paul is serious. Why? Why? Paul is astonished that someone would come in the name of Jesus and try to skew your eternal security. And he wasn't going to stand for it. Paul wasn't going to stand for it. He wasn't going to allow this group of people to come in and say what Paul said, some of it was right, some of it wasn't. You can do this and it'll be fine. You'll be right with God. Paul wasn't going to stand for it. Just like you and I shouldn't stand for it when we hear something that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wanted to make sure that their eternal security, that our eternal security, our freedom was not jeopardized. Verse 6, read again. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another gospel, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul isn't saying that I am astonished that you would leave the one who brought you the gospel, which is him, even though you should listen to me because I literally saw these things happen with my own eyes. Paul is saying that I can't believe you would leave him. You saw him in my preaching. I was there when you gave your heart and your life to him. Don't you remember when you were in darkness and you were in bondage and you were in slavery and God brought you out of that? How could you leave him? It didn't add up to Paul. It doesn't make sense to him. How could you leave the Father, the one who I saw? What I tell you, it matters. What I tell you, it's the truth. How could you leave him? Didn't he penetrate your heart? Didn't he move you when I was there, when I was preaching to you? Paul is telling them this. Don't you remember when he called you out of a life of darkness and into a marvelous light of grace? Don't you remember? That's what Paul is trying to say. That's what he's trying to tell them. And he's just astonished that they would believe these other people. You know, Paul had been accused of being, like I said earlier, of a pleaser of man. That was not Paul at all. And he makes it clear in verse 8 and 9 right here. Let me read it to you again. Listen to this. But even if we, meaning me and others, or even if an angel from heaven should proclaim to you a gospel contrary to what we proclaim to you, then let that one be cursed. Wow. As we have said before, so now I repeat. If anyone proclaims to you a gospel contrary to what you receive, then let that one be cursed. You know, Paul could have said, you know, if Peter or James or John come to you preaching a different gospel, then let them be cursed. No, he takes it a step higher. He said, even if an angel from heaven comes down and tells you something different than what I told you, then let that angel be cursed. Basically, he's saying, Gabriel, Michael, if you come down here and you tell them something different than I told them, then I pray God's wrath on you. Paul's not playing. Paul's not playing. That's how serious it is. Paul said, even if I later come to you and tell you something different than what I told you before, then let me be cursed. So Paul is trying his best to get them to understand that, guys, this is not my gospel. This is not something that I came up with. This is not something that I just heard about. This is something that I saw with my own eyes, I experienced in my own life, and it is true and it is real. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and no one better ever change it. Paul ain't playing. It's almost like Paul gives an imagery here. You know, if an angel came down to him and said, you know, Paul, you've done really well. You're doing pretty good. You've gotten most everything right, but you know, you kind of need circumcision to be in right standing with God. It's kind of necessary. Paul says, let them be cursed. Let him be cursed. It's wrong. It's not the gospel. Get away from me. Paul isn't playing. Verse 10. Am I now seeking human approval or God's approval? Or am I trying to please people? Listen to what he says. If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the marks of seeing Christ through the scriptures, you know, for ourselves, is that we cease to be a pleaser of man. We cease to be a pleaser of man. But if your authority and your gospel are dependent on people, then you're going to be a pleaser of man. If your purpose in life is to have the gospel, but where it pleases people, then you're going to be a pleaser of man. That's what Paul is saying. You're going to be a pleaser of man. If, you know, if we always have our eye on what other people are thinking, what is the congregation going to think? What are the people on the street going to think? What are the people going to think if I put this on Facebook? Where are the comments going to be? If we always have our eye thinking about what other people are going to think or say about how we believe that the true gospel is, then I think Paul is clear that we cease to be a faithful believer of Jesus Christ. That we cease to be what God calls us to be. We won't be a faithful witness for Jesus. If our desire is just to please man. Verse 11, listen to what he says. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, he's talking to us, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin, nor did I receive it from any human source, nor was I taught it, listen, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. And so Paul, again and again and again, is trying to convince and explain to them that this is not my gospel. I didn't get this from flesh and blood, okay? I didn't just come up with this again. The gospel that I preach about, I didn't get it from some man. I didn't get it from somebody. I got it from God himself. And he didn't just reveal it to me. He revealed it in me. The scripture says it. He revealed it in me. Has God ever revealed anything in you? Amen. Paul goes on to say that, you know, the authority that I have, the authority that comes with me, it doesn't come from a man. It comes from Jesus. Flesh and blood did not teach me. I am not some self-appointed apostle who just came up with all these great things and says that this is what you should do. That's not what happened. I am a Christ-appointed apostle, and I have been called and anointed by God. He said all that to say this, so therefore, what I say matters. And what I say is the truth. And what I say is the gospel as a whole. Verse 13. Listen to this. You have heard no doubt of my earlier years in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the church of God and was trying to destroy it. I even advanced in Judaism beyond among many my people at the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. And so, in other words, Paul is trying to make it clear again here that even before I was born, God chose me. Even when I was in the womb, God chose me. He chose me to be an apostle. Even before I was born, He chose me. And He let me become a murderer of Christians. And says, He's mine. God says, He's mine. I chose Him. I called Him. I allowed Him to do these things. He's mine. I want Him now. And we should know the story of Paul. Paul, murderer of Christians. But Paul wanted them to know that when he called me, it was plain that it wasn't my idea. He wanted them to understand that, guys, you're calling me a pleaser man. You're calling me a fake. No, God called me before I was born and allowed me to be a murderer of Christians. So therefore, this is not my idea. I didn't come up with this. It's not my idea. It's God's idea. You think God didn't know what Paul was going to become? Of course he did. Of course he did. God chose him in the womb, just like he has chosen us. Verse 15. Worship team, you can come. Verse 15, listen to these words. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through His grace, was pleased to reveal His Son to me so that I might proclaim Him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me, but I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. And so before Paul was called, he was destined, and later when he was destined, he was called. Called by God. We know the story. He's on the road to Damascus. Terrible person. Terrible person. Murderer. Killer. Bright light. We know the story. Paul falls down, gives his heart and life to Jesus. And Paul makes it clear that God revealed His Son, not to me, but in me. He revealed His Son in me. And what I say matters. And what I say is the truth. And Paul is, he's pleading with them. He's like, you got to believe me. You got to believe what I'm telling you. It's the truth. You got to believe that the things that I have experienced, the things that I've seen with my own eyes, I come to you and I'm telling you this because not only do I love you, yes, I love you. I don't want you to go down a path of darkness. I want you to know that God loves you and God died for you on a cross, and I'm not going to stand for this. It's not the gospel. The gospel says that we do not have to live by the law anymore. Paul had a heart for people. Paul loved them too much to leave them in their sin. Do you
you believe Paul today?
J.D. Walt, some of you know that name. He is, I guess, a founder of Seedbed. It's a curriculum that is unbelievable. You should look it up and study it. And we use it here at the church for different things. And this is what he said. My assessment of a great tragedy of the present-day church is that most people will go the first half of the gospel, but not the second half. They make the decision to believe in Jesus, but they do not become real disciples of Jesus. Our churches are filled with people who profess saving faith in Jesus Christ, yet all too few live into the sanctifying fullness of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we believe that there's Jesus. We believe that He is all-powerful, that He is God, but there's something that doesn't happen to where we come to our life and that we fully believe the gospel, that we fully believe everything that Jesus has said. And Paul is pleading with these people, and he's telling them that, guys, there is no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care what these people are telling you. They are wrong. I have authority. My authority comes from Jesus. I saw Him on the road. I saw Him crucified. He is alive. And let me tell you something. There's no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't listen to what they're telling you. Don't listen to what they're telling you. Don't listen to what they're saying. And so this morning we have heard from a man whose life literally overlapped with Jesus, who saw Him alive, who saw Him on the road to Damascus after He was crucified and resurrected. He saw Him with His own eyes. We have seen that Paul was a murderer of Christians, and then he was converted on the spot. We have seen his heart. We have seen his passion for people and for the gospel to stay true to His word. And we have seen that Paul will do whatever it has to do, whatever he has to do, to protect the gospel at all costs. And my question for us today is, that do we believe Paul? Do we believe the life of Paul? And over the last, I don't know, 15 years, I have had the opportunity of just studying God's Word. Some of you have studied God's Word way longer than I have because you're older than me. But over the past 15 years, I have really seen Paul's heart. I have really seen that Paul has a heart for God and that Paul has a heart for people. And I want to testify. I want to testify from what I have seen, what I have read, and what I have experienced, that Paul is not a fool. Paul is not an imposter. And not in 1,000 years could I ever look Paul in the face and say, you're a fake. I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Today, there are people leaving our churches in droves. They're going to something that is easier because God calls us to be holy. They're going to something that is more pleasing to them. But we know the truth. The gospel doesn't change. People have to change. I've seen so many teens leave a youth group. And I would lie to say that it didn't break my heart, because it does. Not the ones that have come to the age of graduation and they're gone, and we give their blessing, we throw them a party, and we pray over them, we anoint them with oil. And I know that they know the truth of the gospel. But so many times people leave the truth. And so many times when life gets rough, praise God, they'll come walking back in those doors. They'll come walking back to the truth. But it doesn't have to happen that way. It doesn't have to happen. And so Paul was pleading with these Galatians, just like he's pleading with us today. And he's telling you today, he's saying, don't leave grace. Don't leave grace. Don't leave Jesus. What is there outside of grace? What is there outside of the love of Jesus Christ? What is there outside of grace? Without grace, what do we really have? What do we have? The truth I want you to know again today is that there is no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are not bound by any law. You're not bound by the old law. We're not bound by the things in the Old Testament. Because Jesus has come, we know the story. He stepped out of heaven in the form of a baby, in the form of a child, in the form of a child, and lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. He proclaimed the gospel, healed people, touched people, saw people be changed by the power of his words. And then we see where he literally is willing to give his life on the cross for you to protect your eternal security. If we believe that, if we know that, then we should never fall away from grace. We should never fall away from what God has done in us and through us. You have been given the freedom by Christ to live in Christ. And today, if the gospel, listen to me, church, if the gospel is precious to you, and I hope and pray that it is, that you'll hold steadfast to its truth entirely. If anyone ever comes along, young children, young teens, and tells you something different than what you have heard, I'll say it for me. Not that I'm perfect, not that I'm right, but it is the truth of God's word. If someone tells you anything different, then let them be cursed. Get away from them. Don't listen to them. Don't follow the things of this world. Follow the heart and the life of Jesus. Today, I want to encourage you, and I want to empower you, and I want you to know without a shadow of a doubt today that there is no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. The letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians, he meant it with his heart, and he was pleading with them, just like I'm pleading with you today. There's no other gospel. Gospel of Jesus.